This is City on the Hills podcast. We hope this message becomes a revelation in your heart and will encourage you to live a Christ-centered life. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Here's today's message.
Well, friends and family, let's pray together. God, I want to thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is powerful. I thank you today that we will experience you speak to us through your word. We open our hearts and we want to receive everything you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, I just love the privilege to be able to share God's word with you today. I want to share with you what happened with me a number of years ago. We had friends that we would take food parcels and aid up to Zimbabwe. The nation of Zim they've gone through some amazingly tough times, and we often pray for our friends and our family and the churches in Zimbabwe. But what we did this one year is we sent aid and we sent food up to Zim, and someone needed my car. They needed to use our car, and I made my car available, and they ended up taking a very heavy trailer, and they drove my car into Zimbabwe, and they delivered the food, which is absolutely amazing. The problem was, though, is that just on their way, after delivering the food, the car started overheating, and the car started really giving troubles, and they were in the middle of nowhere, Zimbabwe, and there was not a lot of oil available, so the car needed some oil, and the car needed water. And so because the car needed water and the car started overheating, they were kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. And obviously it wasn't their car, but they did the very best they could. And so what ended up happening was they ended up driving the car as is, because they tried to find a little bit of water on the side of the road to put some water in. And they ended up driving the car as is. And it did actually go for quite a while. It went for a number of kilometers till they got to a place where the car completely ceased. The head gasket blew. And the car, the engine, then obviously had a complete breakdown. The car had a complete breakdown. And with this complete breakdown of the car, they ended up having to be towed to the border post of Zimbabwe and Botswana. And myself and another friend, we had to go through Botswana to go and find them at the border and to tow them all the way back, because the car could not drive anymore. And we had to completely do a complete engine overhaul. It cost us a lot of money in order to fix it. And it's amazing for me, even though my friends did the best they could, because they did not have water and because they did not have oil, the engine ceased. And even though they could drive it a little bit, heat it, and even though the engine could go a little bit when the oil was low, over time, at the end of the line, the car broke down. And I'm amazed at how many Christians, how many believers think that they can drive, they can be in this vehicle called their faith, their faith in Jesus Christ, this vehicle called faith, where they put their hope in Jesus, this vehicle of following Jesus. They engage with Jesus. And then what they do is they don't put water in and they don't put oil in the car. And when they don't do that, in the beginning, it feels like the car can still go. And the heat gauge goes up and the oil gauge goes down. And you think to yourself, what are these gauges on about? But these gauges are pointing to a problem that's busy happening, pointing to an inevitable failure, an inevitable breakdown. And I'm amazed at the end of it, or in the midst of this pandemic, I'm seeing how many people, their faith, like the Bible says, is being shipwrecked. They are losing the faith. They like this car of mine in the middle of Zimbabwe, and they are stranded. They're in a sun-scorched land, like it says in Psalm 68. They find themselves isolated. They find themselves alone. And last week, we looked so powerfully at the fact that God wants you and me in community, because there's an inheritance for us in community. Today, I want to talk to you about the fact that there's an honest truth that if you neglect the gauges, and if you disregard what the Word of God teaches, and if you look at some of the symptoms of being disconnected from God, of being in a place where you can have water poured on you, in a place where the oil of the Holy Spirit can just lubricate your soul. If you neglect those moments and you neglect those platforms, friends, you might find yourself overheating. You might find yourself ceasing, and a complete seizure. You might find yourself breaking down. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 to 27. Now, this is right after Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25. Verse 26 says, if we deliberately keep on sinning, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and the raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Now, our friends, this, I wish I could read the whole scripture, but just because of time, I'm going to pause there. But these few verses they put the reverence and the fear of God in me. I realized that, man, oh man, I cannot find myself in a lifestyle of continued sin. I can't find myself, even though the heat gauge is going up and the fuel gauge is going down, I can't find myself in a place where I'm ignoring that and I'm continuing in the way, on the path and in the way that I'm at. Why? Because what's going to end up happening is I'm going to find myself disconnected from the goodness of God. I'm going to have a fearful expectation for eternal judgment. And I'm going to miss out on so much. And like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, that fire is going to test your work. There's going to be fire and it's going to test whatever you and I have done. I'm seeing so many of my dear friends and family that not intentionally, they're not saying, I want to live in sin. They're not saying, I don't want to follow God. They're not saying, I don't want to believe in God. But because there's a slight drift, because they're not going to celebrations, because they're not finding themselves in community, because they're not finding themselves among other believers where believers can challenge them and in other places where they can be lubricated, where the oil of the Spirit of God can minister to them and fill where their pistons, and I'm not a motor mechanic, but I understand that needs to have enough oil, or a place where the radiator can be filled with water so that the engine can be kept cool. And if they do not find themselves in places where the water of the Word can wash over them and the oil of the Spirit can minister to them amongst the people of God, friends, they're going to find themselves in a breakdown. Now, you might be sitting here saying, but Mark, what is the antidote to this? Don't just give me the problem. Give me the solution. And the solution, I believe, is found in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. It says, see to it, brothers and sisters. So he's saying, brothers and sisters, and he's talking to believers now, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Friends, a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. A sinful, unbelieving heart. He says, watch your heart. And Paul writes to Timothy, he says, watch your life and watch your life and doctrine closely. Watch your heart. He says, the Bible teaches us that we need to guard our hearts, for from it flows the issues of life. Guard your heart. Because if your heart engages in sin and unbelief, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to find yourself distracted and you're going to turn away from the living God. And I've seen this. I've seen some of the people that I love so dearly, people that knew God, that served God, that walked with God. But because of sin and unbelief, they've drifted away from the living God. They've turned from the living God. And the Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was accredited to him as righteousness. Which means that if we don't believe God, we are rejecting. Unbelief equals unrighteous. That's why sin, the root of sin is unbelief, friends. If you don't believe God when it comes to your sexuality, there'll be unrighteousness there. If you don't believe God when it comes to your finances, there'll be unrighteousness there. But when you believe God, when it comes to the truth of the Word of God, you'll see righteousness flourish. It says in verse 13 of Hebrews 3, it says, but encourage one another daily. Ooh, I love this. I love this. I love it so much. I get so excited because the antidote to a sinful, unbelieving heart is to encourage someone. The antidote, the inoculation against the virus of unbelief, the virus of sin, is encouraging someone. That's the antidote. I told this church before, I remember getting tick bite fever, and I was so sick, I actually thought I was going to die. And they just gave me this small little tablet. And as I took that tablet, and as I started getting on the antibiotics, there was like an antidote that was released into my body, and it fought off the virus, the tick bite fever. It fought off the virus and brought health to my body. I believe that if you and I can encourage someone, when you give God's word to someone, when you pray for someone, it's amazing how you get inoculated against sin and unbelief. It's amazing how God wants you and me to be free from sin and unbelief. And one of the keys to living free from unbelief is to encourage others. It says here, for as long as it's called today. So we need to encourage one another, not from time to time, as much as we can, daily, he says. As long as it's called today, he says, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to sharing Christ. We need to share Jesus with one another. We need to share the life of Jesus with one another. Open our homes, open our diaries, open our fridges, open our cars to share Jesus with one another. If indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end, friends, we need to share Jesus with one another because our hearts cannot become hardened. You know what I see with people? The enemy loves doing this. People get offended. They get offended and then they harbor unforgiveness. And then that unforgiveness releases a root of bitterness. And then that bitterness isolates them. And then they hold to themselves and their hearts become hard. And when your heart's hard, then the seed of the word can no longer penetrate. Then your heart is not susceptible to the word of God. When your heart is hard, you cannot receive what God's got for you. When your heart is hard, you cannot believe how good God can be for you. I believe that willful, continual, deliberate sin is often a result of being disconnected from the body of Christ. If we are out of the body of Christ, we're out of being encouraged and, more importantly, encouraging others, sin and unbelief and deliberate sin and willful, continual, deliberate sin becomes our portion. I believe that Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 follows Hebrews 10, 25. Now, remember, we looked at it last week. Verse 24 and 25 looked at the fact that it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So what do you and I need to do? Is we need to spur each other on. We need to find other brothers. That's why a local church is a gift to you, friends. Being part of a family of God, being part of an imperfect local church that's serving Jesus with leaders that are just trying their best to keep their eyes on Jesus and to not focus on themselves, but to focus on Jesus. When you are planted in a local church, you have an opportunity to be stirred up and to stir others up for towards love and good deeds. He says, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Watch this. Why would Hebrews chapter 10, 26 follow 25, where 25 says, do not give up meeting together, and 24 as before 25, where it says, stir up love and good deeds. And 25 says, meeting together so that we can encourage one another, so that our hearts do not become sinful, that we don't fall into continual sin. I find people struggle to live in victory if they try and do it alone. You cannot do this alone. Even Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that was unlimited in power, he could single-handedly save the world. He chose to gather around him disciples, not only 12, he had numbers of them, but the 12 were very tight and very close to him. And then he had three. And I believe all of us need to be in community amongst other believers, serving God together, worshiping God together, and spending time in God's word together. I'm amazed at how God gives you the gift of the local church. Please don't waste it. Please don't miss the beautiful gift, the beauty that God's got for you, because you got distracted by someone's shortcomings, you got distracted by the weaknesses and the flaws and the failures, or you got distracted by life. And like I said last week, you want like one of those baboons that you literally just holding on to your little pips and you're missing out on the joy of what God's got for you. And in Hebrews chapter 3, it gives us this amazing truth that it lines up, it confirms Hebrews 3, Hebrews 10. When you read them together, you see actually that Hebrews 3 says, if you want to overcome a hard and sinful heart, unbelieving heart, you need to encourage someone. Hebrews chapter 10 says, encourage one another. He says, all the more as you see the day approaching. And he says, do not be caught up in a continual sin. I don't believe that you can do this in an online church. Well, I'm going to be knocked right now because you are in an online church. You're watching it online. I'm here to say to you, friends, that this is amazing for you to be encouraged. I think it's great. Watch other preachers. I think it's great. Listen to the right, good people that are word-focused. I think it's great to learn from others. But that is not community. That's merely just you being encouraged. That's merely just you being blessed. But we saw last week that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. We saw that actually when we give, we grow. We saw that when we encourage others, that's when our heart stays soft. Not only when we get encouraged. See, when it's all about me, and it's all about what I can get, then it's all about me getting my heart filled with myself. But when I give, when I share, I grow. The Bible actually says in Galatians chapter 6 that we need to be kind, that we need to, whatever we sow, we will reap. And it says we need to do good to all, especially to the household of faith. God says we need to not grow weary in doing good. Why does God want us to give? Because it's when you give that you experience the life of God. God is a giver. And when you and I want to be like Jesus, when we want to be like God, we need to give. And I believe giving helps you and me to fan the flames in our hearts, the fire in our hearts, the passion in our hearts, the zeal, the joy of our salvation gets fanned when we take our eyes off ourselves and we put our eyes on our Jesus and on others. It's amazing how Keith Green sang this song many, many years ago. He said, "Oh Lord, you're beautiful." Remember that song? "Your face is all I seek." That song, I just loved it. But then there's this verse that he sings and he says, "Oh Lord, please light that fire that once burnt bright and clear." He says, "Replace the lamp of my first love that burns with holy fear." I believe God wants each and every one of us to be so on fire, to be so passionate, to be so sold out for God, to be so literally flaming with the wind of the Spirit flaming, and for our hearts to be burning for Jesus and for His kingdom. But I know this, friends, is that when we get isolated from the family of God, we struggle to shine our light. We struggle to experience the flame. It says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 3 to 4, it says, "You have persevered," speaking about the church in Ephesus, a good church, a great church. "You've persevered and you've endured hardships for my name." It says, "And you've not grown weary." You've done well. You've done so well. He says, "Yet I hold this one thing against you. You have forsaken the love that you had at first." Another translation says, "You've forsaken your first love." My family, my friends, I want to ask you from my heart. I want to ask you personally. Where's your first love? Have you forsaken your first love? Where's that love for Jesus and His Word? Where's that love for Jesus and His people? Remember when you just got saved, how you just loved people. Remember how when you just got saved, you just wanted everyone that's far from God to hear the good news of Jesus. Remember when that first love came, you just couldn't wait to read your Bible. When you prayed, it was like, wow, Lord, it's electricity when I pray. I'm here to say to you, friends, that even though the feelings might fade, the first love needs to remain. And we need to kindle that first love. And that first love, that flame, is kindled amongst the believers of God. Many of you know the story, but I'm going to read it for us anyway. A pastor was concerned about the absence of a man who had normally attended services, or in our church, celebrations. After a few weeks, he decided to visit him. When the pastor arrived at the man's home, he found him all alone, sitting in front of a fireplace, isolated, alone, lonely. Sitting in front of a fireplace, the minister pulled up a chair and sat next to him. But after his initial greeting, he said nothing more. The two sat in silence for a few minutes while the minister stared at the flames in the fireplace. Then he took the tongs and carefully picked up a burning coal from the flames and placed it right next to the fire, outside of the fire. He sat back on his chair, still silent. His host watched in quiet reflection as this little coal flickered and faded. Before long, it was cold and it was dead. The minister glanced at his watch and he said, "Hey, he had to leave. But first he picked up the cold coal and he placed it back into the fire. Immediately it began to glow again, and with light and warmth and burning coals around it. As the minister rose to leave, his host stood with him and shook his hand and said, then with a smile on his face, the man said, "Thanks for the sermon, Pastor. I'll see you on Sunday." Thanks for the sermon, Pastor. I'll see you on Sunday. Have you allowed a simple, ugly thing like COVID to rob you from the fire that God's making with the people of God? Have you allowed yourself to be isolated from the fire of God? Have you allowed yourself to be isolated from the blessing of God, isolated from growing, from the fire of God? Or are you right in the middle of the fire of God and you're saying, "God, I'm shining for you, I'm burning for you, I'm on fire for you" with other believers? If you're close to God, I'm here to say to you today, you and I need to push into the fire. We need to be amongst Jesus and His people. But if you're far from God, I'm here to say to you, friends, you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Put your hope in Him, because He's going to be the one that's going to start the flame, and He's going to help you to stay in the community of God so that you can keep that flame burning, that fire in your heart can keep on burning. I touched on this last week, but one of the ways for the flame to keep on burning, one of the ways for us to have the flame burning and put our coals, the coals of our lives, the coals of our hearts in the flame of God, in the community of God, is to bring refreshing to others, is to be a blessing to others. I touched on it. It says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25, it says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." God wants you and me to encourage others. That's the way we put our coal back into the fire, is to encourage others. I thought to myself, Joseph is one of my heroes. Joseph in the Old Testament in Genesis, Joseph was an amazing man. And I thought to myself, Joseph was so amazing, but yet he went through so many difficult times, difficult moments. Moments that I think would have made you and me, made our hearts hard. Moments that would have made you and me unbelieving. Moments that would have made you and me sinful. But Joseph stayed focused. He stayed focused on his God. He stayed, his heart stayed soft. Even at the end of his life, when his brothers thought he's going to now judge them, he's now going to bring revenge upon them, his heart was soft. And he said, "I don't want to be in the plan of God. What you meant for harm," Genesis 50, verse 20, "what you meant for harm, God turned for my good." Joseph's heart stayed soft. And I said, "Lord, how did he get it right to keep his heart soft after being thrown into the pit? How did he get it right to keep his heart soft after being lied to in Potiphar's house when he did not sin, when he did what was right, and his heart, he was judged and he was thrown into prison? How did he keep his heart soft in prison when he was rejected and when he was neglected? How did he keep his heart soft?" And God showed me this. And this is a revelation. Is that Joseph, in the midst of the hard times, gave the very thing that he was longing for. In the midst of Potiphar's house, he served Potiphar the way that he would want someone to serve him. He actually respected Potiphar so much. He respected Potiphar the way that he would want someone to respect him. He was an honorable worker. He gave his all. And even when he had the chance to have Potiphar's wife for himself, to have pleasure with Potiphar's wife, he decided to reject that because he gave Potiphar what he would have wanted someone to give to him. Then he finds himself in prison, and you would think now his heart's going to be hard. But you know what Joseph does? Joseph serves in prison, and he does so well that he gets promoted in prison because he's doing unto others, he's doing for others what he desperately wants. And then when the butler and the baker comes, they have dreams, and Joseph must now think of his dreams. And his dreams are not coming to fulfillment. He had dreams as a young man of being in charge, and dreams of authority, and dreams of taking hold of so much. Yet he wasn't walking into it. And I'm sure he could have become hard-hearted. I'm sure he could have given into sin. I'm sure he could have become unbelieving. Yet when he had the opportunity to work on someone else's dreams, he took it. He served someone else. He worked on other people's dreams while God was working on his dreams. My encouragement to all of us today is that no matter what you and I face, that we would find opportunities to give someone else what we desperately want. I've told this story before, but I ran a marathon two years ago. And when I ran this marathon, it was a life-changing experience for me. I loved it, absolutely every minute of it. But I got to a very, very difficult time when I felt like, yo, my legs are really paining. It's painful. And I am struggling to do this right now. And I needed some encouragement. I just needed someone to say, "Mark, you can do this." I needed someone to say, "Mark, you're going to make it." I needed someone to say, "Well done." I just needed that, but no one was giving it to me. And I said, "Lord, I need someone to encourage me." And the Lord said to me, "Look for someone to encourage. Look to give it to someone." And you know what I did? I just started encouraging people as they started running past me. They looked at me funny because they're not used to someone encouraging them. And I just gave them encouragement. I said, "Well done, you're doing great. Yes, you're going to do it. Keep it up. Your time is great. That's great. Well done." And people are like, "Oh, thank you." They didn't know what to say. And you know, friends, after like the fifth, sixth, I can't remember how many people I encouraged, I started experiencing God encouraging me. I was working on other people's needs, and God was giving me my need. God was meeting my need because I wasn't focusing on me. I was focusing on them. And I felt just how the Holy Spirit, my legs became warm. and became strong, and I felt like the pain left. And I was so encouraged by God in the middle of that moment. And I felt like God said to me, this is exactly what every believer needs to grasp. He said, if you are going through hardships, find someone to bless. If you're needing breakthrough in your life, if you need encouragement, if you need someone to be generous towards you, be generous to someone today. Continual sin happens when you and I are out of community, when we are out of God's word, when we are out of a place of encouraging others. Then it's so easy for our hearts to become hard. My one friend said, he said, if you show me your friends and I'll prophesy your future. Show me the people you're spending your time around. Show me the people you're giving yourself to and I'll prophesy your future. You become who you spend your time with. And I'm here to say to you, friends, if you're always spending time with people that are not committed to Jesus, if you're always spending time with people that are gossiping, that are not spending time in God's word, you're going to become like them. But if you can say, God, I want to be a vessel of honor. And I want to be connected to the people of God. I want to stir one another up towards love and good deeds. It says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, it says, he who walks with the wise will become wise, but the companion of fools will suffer great harm. Another translation says, will be destroyed. And I've seen this. People that isolate themselves from the people of God, but they find themselves among the fools, they get destroyed. Their marriages get destroyed. Their lives get destroyed. God designed you and me for such a time as this. He designed you and me to be able to be in community, to be like him, like in his image and his likeness. God so loved that he gave. God so loved that he cares. God so loved that he will encourage us. I believe my friend Seth Rizalt wrote this amazing song. And in the one line of his song, it says this, I'm living to give and I'm giving to live. I'm going to say that again. I'm living to give and I'm giving to live. And I think of the character of Jesus. He lives. He lived to give and he gave. And that's how he lived. He gave his life and he got resurrection life. I know that Jesus Christ knows this. He knows that if you're disconnected from his body, if you're disconnected from who he is, because you cannot, Jesus is the head, the church is the body. You cannot disconnect Jesus from the church. And if you disconnect yourself from the body, you disconnect yourself from the life of Jesus. If I had to chop this finger off and I put it right there, this finger might have some life in it for a few seconds. But if it's disconnected from the body, no matter how amazing this finger is not going to make it. It's going to become blue. It's going to lose life. Why? Because I need the life of God to flow through his body, from the head, through the body of Christ, to every part of the body. God wants us to be built together for his glory. It says in 1 Peter, it actually speaks about the fact that Jesus Christ was this amazing cornerstone, the chief cornerstone that was rejected and despised by men. He was rejected. And even by the Father, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He had to experience rejection. He had to be disconnected so that he can become the cornerstone, the one that brings us all together. Jesus Christ that brings us all together so that we can be living stones, friends, not on a rubble somewhere, living stones, not on our couch somewhere, living stones, not only watching online church in some lounge, living stones built together, connected with Jesus for the glory of God, hosting the presence of God as we are built together. Jesus prays in John 17, his prayer for you and me is that we would be one, we'd be connected, that we'd be built together for his glory. It's amazing. Jesus says, by this they'll know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. If you're not with the people of God, how can you love the people of God if you're never with the people of God? I know that Jesus Christ is the vine and we are the branches. And if you chop a piece of the vine off and you disconnect that branch from the vine, it shrivels up and it dies and it gets thrown into the fire. John 15 says, but if you and I are connected to the vine, we're connected to Jesus with his people, his life flows and we bear much fruit. We go from fear to fruit. And I'm here to say to you, friends, that Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price. And he's the one that's going to keep us. He's the one that's going to sustain us. And when we are struggling with community, can we look to him that was rejected? Can we look to him that was isolated so that we can be accepted, so that we can not be isolated, but that we can be connected and incorporated in community? It says in Jude chapter 1, verse 24, it says, now to him who's able to keep you from falling, to keep you from stumbling, to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. God says, I'm going to present you. I'm going to preserve you. I'm going to keep you from falling. And the way that God keeps us from falling is He puts the lonely in families. He connects us with His body. He puts us there together, and we find His great inheritance in the saints. Let's pray together. God, I want to thank You that Your word is so powerful. I want to thank You that, yes, there's some scary realities that if we do continue sinning, that shows that our hearts drift away from You. Our hearts become hard. But I want to pray today for every person that's far from You. If anyone watching that's far from You, if they're right now, if their hearts have become hard and they've become unbelieving, I pray that You will right now minister to them. Could you pray this after me? Lord Jesus, give me Your heart. Give me a soft heart. I want to believe in You. Give me faith to believe in You. I want to trust in You. But Father, I want to pray for my friends and my family that's close to You. For us in the fire. For us connected. The coals in the fire. May we go from glory to glory. May You fan these flames. And may our first love burn brighter ever still. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, friends. Let's worship together. Bless you abundantly.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Don't forget to check out our website or visit City on a Hill International on Instagram or Facebook for our updates, celebration times, or ways you can get involved. We are also streaming our message on Facebook Live, so make sure you join us or share the post. Thanks again for checking out our podcast. We'll see you soon.